Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today are the Beatitudes, and since I could preach an entire sermon on each one, I'm just going to focus on one word, and that's blessed, and how that word relates to all the other Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, when I was very young, I learned that you could differentiate different families and different homes. Some were happy homes, some were sad, some were rich homes, some were poor. There's another way, very early, I differentiated homes, and that was some homes were God bless me homes, and some homes were Gesundheit homes. Nancy comes from a God bless me home. I'm still not used to that one, right? Because I came from a Gesundheit home. When you sneezed, someone would say, Gesundheit. Now, I didn't know what it meant. I just know that's what you were supposed to do. So when I got out into the wider world and I started hearing a lot more God bless yous, it seemed really strange. And I had no idea what was going on. And I remember once I was in a Sunday school class and I sneezed. And the teacher said, God bless you. And I just said, okay, you know, what's going on with the God bless you? You know, why do you say God bless me when I sneeze? Now, I think we were talking about Joseph or something, but, she knew better of not to answer my question because I just keep asking. So she answered. Now, it turns out she knew a lot more about sneezing than she did the Bible because she had some really good answers. And she said, you say God bless you because in the old days, she said, people thought when you sneezed that your soul left your body and Satan could get it and take it to hell. And so they say, God bless you, so your soul goes back in your body. And I'm like, what? And the second one she said is, and they also thought that when you sneeze, your heart stops, and you say, God bless you, because it starts your heart up again. And I'm just like, that's as bad as the first one. I mean, I'm thinking, what's going to happen? If I sneeze, my soul shoots out of my body, Satan takes it, I have a heart attack, I go to hell for eternity? I mean, that had me a whole period of my life, you know, not putting any pepper on my eggs because, you know, why risk it? It's just, it's horrible. She never told me, by the way, that these weren't true. And, of course, these ideas are ridiculous, right? I mean, when I sneeze and I hold a Kleenex in front of me, it's not to keep my soul in, all right? And I can sneeze really hard and not once has my heart ever stopped. And someone saying God bless you or God's blessing is not preventing me from going to hell or dying. That's a misuse and a misunderstanding of what God's blessing is. And unfortunately, in an even more dangerous and serious way, we can misunderstand this word here in Matthew, blessed. In Greek, there are two words for blessing. One has to do more like if a person prays, the leader of a prayer would say, God bless the poor or God bless the children, okay? So you're wishing, you're hoping, you're praying for something to happen. But that's not the word that's used here. The word that's used here is makarios. And that's a very special word. It's actually relating to a happy state of life that already exists. And you see, if we don't see it that way, then we run into problems. Then Jesus becomes what a lot of people think he was, which was just a great teacher who was encouraging people to live a wonderful life. Or, worse even than that, is Christians' idea. They don't often put this into words, but they'll think of Jesus almost as if he's a new lawgiver, a new Moses who came to bring new and improved laws. In fact, that's what a lot of people see the Sermon on the Mount as, which is not good news at all because we weren't doing too well with the first 10 commandments that he gave us. Don't need any new ones that are even harsher. You see, that's the problem. They make the blessing not a reality, but something that's dependent on something. In other words, the way people often read or think of these words are, you will be if you are poor in spirit, you will be blessed with the kingdom of heaven. In other words, or if you are meek, you shall inherit the earth. So you will be blessed if you do X, because then you get Y. And that's not a blessing. I was at Tommy's yesterday with the men's group, and I realized something that I had known before. Did you realize there's something at Tommy's on 4th Street that's free? There is a free meal there. Yeah, you know what you get for free at Tommy's? Yeah, I mean, you go after church. It's free. I don't know how they stay in business with this, but all right, this is what you can get. 2 6-egg omelets with ham, bacon, sausage, green peppers, red peppers, onions, mushrooms, cheese, and country gravy, 5 buttermilk pancakes, 2 biscuits with gravy, 2 pieces of bacon, 2 pieces of sausage, side of ham steak, 4 slices of butter toast. For free. 7 pounds of food. But it's contingent on you finishing it by yourself in 1 hour. Okay? It's called the Beaver Buster, and if you go in there and look at the left, as soon as you walk through the door, you see the massive wall of people who have failed the Beaver Buster. Right? Now, in my heyday of competitive eating, I probably could have done that. I mean, those days are past. But if I went today after church, no matter how hungry I am, I'm going to get 2/3 of the way through that, and I'm going to start getting the old meat sweats, and my heart rate's going to rise, and my stomach's going to be killing me, and I'm going to be hurting really bad, right? And even if I push through and eat 7 pounds of food, I'm not going to be considering it a blessing afterwards. See, blessings that are contingent on us doing something is not a blessing at all. But that's not what Jesus says. The word he uses, markurion, is not contingent on anything. It's basically saying, look at how blessed these people are and happy because they're filled with joy and peace. Because of something either they have gotten or something they are just about to get. When I was at the seminary, basically it's 9 quarters, you know, 3 quarters a year, and then not counting your vicarage year. And I got to my 9th quarter, so it was the spring of 1991, and I finally decided, okay, I'm going to find out, you know, when's the point where they have to graduate me, okay? So I got all my transcripts and my calculator, and I added up all my credits, I added up all my credit hours, I added up all my grades, and I finally found out March 13th, 1991, from that point on, there's nothing they could do to keep me from graduating. I could go to class, never take a note, never write another paper, refuse to take tests, and not take my finals, and they'd still have to pass me. And so I circled it on my calendar. It was like a birthday, right? And that day came, and I was overjoyed. Today's the day. There's nothing they can do. Now, had I graduated March 13th? No. But the blessing was still mine. Now, I still went to class, just to let you know, and I still took notes and wrote the papers and took the tests and finals. I still did that. And an amazing thing happened. I did better than I did before because there was no pressure on me, right? No pressure. In fact, those are the best grades I ever got at the seminary, straight A's, in the toughest classes I was ever taking. Why? Why was there no pressure? Because my graduation was not contingent on my grades from that point on. Everything was done. And even though I still had about 2 months to go, the blessing was already mine. This is what Jesus wants us to feel in our lives today. This is why he speaks the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount. It's so that we might have peace and so that we might have joy. So let's just quickly look at these Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit does not mean we're depressed about ourselves. What it's really saying is we're humble to the point in knowing that we are saved by grace. And we receive the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. As Christians who mourn, and we do that, yet we have a resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, and because of that, we are comforted, because we know that we will rise to new life, and so will those we mourn for. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek in Greek does not mean weak, and it does not mean cowardice. Meek is referring to a child. A child who knows who its parent is. And they inherit the earth, not the strong, not the violent, but the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Whenever we read that word righteous, almost every time in the Bible, Old Testament and New, it's not referring to a state of perfection. It's referring to a relationship. We have been made right with God. And in faith, knowing that we are right with God certainly satisfies us. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And in faith, knowing how much forgiveness we've received sets us free to forgive. Blessed are the pure in heart. Well, who made our heart pure? Who made our lives pure? Jesus Christ did. And in faith, seeing him in our life, we see him millions of ways in our life every day. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. It doesn't say blessed are the peaceful, but the peacemakers. Because Jesus Christ has made us at peace with his Father by his death on the cross and resurrection. Now we can make peace with the people in our lives as well. Not perfectly, but better. And finally, he comes in here at the last two here, and it kind of all centers on one thing. I'm just going to read that one verse. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely, and here's the center of it all, on my account. And now we see what the Beatitudes have been doing and what Jesus has been doing. He's just been building up to that, little by little, step by step, until finally he gets to himself. Because he is the creator of the Beatitudes. He is the essence of the Beatitudes. And Jesus Christ himself is the blessing of the Beatitudes. And in him we are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.